Hello, everyone, wherever you're joining us from. It's really great to have you with us at another one of our 1MSL community webinars, the Aspiring MSL Leader Part 2. So I am really thrilled to be joined by my colleague, Greg Danielewicz. So thank you, Greg, and welcome to the next webinar. Would you like to just introduce yourself briefly?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much, Helen. Good afternoon, everyone. So pleasure to be back with you again. So my name is Greg Danielewicz. I am a consultant with the 1MSL team. So hopefully some of you joined us for the first session that we ran in this series on the Aspiring MSL Leader. So just give you a little bit of background on myself. So I think I'm on my 29th year in the pharma industry now. So I've done a range of roles in both in commercial and medical, and I've worked for some of the bigger top 10 sort of companies, so SmithKline, Beecham, Glaxo Wellcome, AstraZeneca, Novartis. And at Novartis, I found my feet in terms of leadership development. So built a leadership development curriculum for Novartis UK back in 2008. So really looking forward to spending the next hour with you. And yeah, being part of the 1MSL team. So just a reminder, guys, so we've tried to build this course for two kind of groups, really. So those of you that are joining us that are aspiring to be an MSL leader in the future, but also if you've already secured that position and you want to kind of have a think about your natural kind of leadership style and how you might want to try and flex and adapt that to the specific role that you're in. So two distinct groups there, I think, and hopefully there's going to be something for everyone in the content that we're going to cover today. So what we covered last time was for those of you that did join us, was it was quite an extensive kind of introduction to what leadership is. And we looked at a few areas. So we looked at things like leading from behind. So we looked at the difference between leadership and management, and we identified the key kind of behaviors for leadership are really 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 important kind of behaviors to have. So things like being able to create a vision for the future and identifying what can be achieved. So there's a simple sketch there which you may remember in terms of encouraging your colleagues up onto the escalator and trying to create that vision in terms of what they might expect to encounter when they get to the top of that escalator. We talked briefly about our purpose and understanding what our vision is and being able to articulate that, and looking at how we can try and find our purpose. We're going to come back to that again today because I think that's at the heart of a lot of the content that we're going to go through today. We also talked about our knowledge, skills, and behaviors. So thinking about what is it that we need to do in terms of but building on those, developing those skills, behaviors, understanding what our knowledge gaps are, and building our purpose into that. And then all of that is underpinned by having this concept of a growth mindset. So they're the things that we covered last time. For those of you that attended, great. Hopefully that sparked some memories in your memory banks. If you weren't able to attend last time, then all of that content and the webinar was recorded and is available for you to view on the website. So let's kind of move the conversation on now. So we're gonna cover three areas today. So we're gonna look at so what lies behind great leadership. So we're gonna look at authentic leadership. We're going to revisit finding your purpose, and no apologies for kind of going over that ground again because it's at the heart of everything that we're going to talk about. And we're also going to cover this idea of executive presence or gravitas, as it's often called. So I'm going to ask you a question first off, if I may, before we get into this idea of authenticity. So the first poll that we'd like to launch asks you the question, how much of yourself do you allow to be seen at work? So we've got half of you saying around 50 to 75%, and the other half over 75%, which is great. So authentic leadership, please do.
So This is a bit of a buzzword, I think. This is sort of a something that we hear quite a lot spoken about. And for somebody like me, who is I'm quite green, so I'm very strong on the feelings side of the spectrum, if you like. So for me, authentic leadership suggests that I should be myself. So that's what I interpret, you know, yeah, but by these words. But of course, there's a risk about that, isn't there? There's a risk that if you're too authentic, then that you're somehow creating vulnerability. So yeah, can you just, are you going to take us through what this really means, authentic leadership, Greg?
Yes, I'm certainly going to try, Helen. I think you're right. I think, you know, this is a term that frequently appears in leadership development books, you know, and it's a bit of a corporate term, to be honest with you, and it can be a little bit confusing. So I think it would be helpful to try and sort of break that down and work out exactly what we mean by that. So that's exactly what I'm going to attempt to do. And I'll be interested to hear the thoughts of the guys on the call in terms of what it means to them as well. So this is what I feel authenticity requires. I think it stems from having a high level of self-awareness and really knowing yourself and understanding your specific strengths and weaknesses, of course, and being okay and comfortable with that. And you know, it goes without saying that we all have things that we're naturally better at than others, and no one is perfect. So understanding what your flaws are, particularly in a leadership role, and being able to kind of work on those and mitigate those, I guess, and play to your strengths, is really important. But it does require us to be really genuinely honest and open with ourselves and with other people, and to seek honest feedback, you know, 365 degree feedback from our colleagues. And then only once we've got a really clear understanding of that are we going to feel comfortable to share that, warts and all, and be humble, which I think you mentioned, and vulnerable, and to understand that it's okay to share that with other people. And then there's no surprises to think, you know, once we've got that true understanding of ourselves at that point, then we know what we need to work on. So here's a model that I'm gonna go through in a little bit of detail with you. So it's called the authentic leadership model. So there are five sections to it, and I'll go through these in detail. But I'd ask you, you know, those in the audience, just to grab a piece of paper and a pen, because I'm going to explain what each of these means to you, and then maybe you can kind of hold the mirror up to yourselves a little bit and try and sort of answer the questions that I'm going to pose to you. And see how you stack up against each of these criteria. So the first one is genuine purpose, and again we've touched on that already, but we're going to come back to that as well. And that's kind of front and center of everything that stems from that point, really. So understanding yourself, what it is that drives you, what is your real why? You know, why do you get out of bed in the morning? Why do you go to work? Why do you want to be a leader? So getting clarity around that is absolutely essential. So the values piece is interesting as well. And, you know, and again, we'll delve into that. But understanding what your personal values are, and what they mean to you, and be able to clearly communicate those to others is the second part of the puzzle, I suppose. Then we think about the relationships in your leadership role and how you can cultivate those relationships. With all around you, again, 360 degrees in terms of relationships. So the people that you're leading, the people that maybe you work with, so your peer group, but also, you know, those senior managers, senior leaders that you report to, and building your brand in a way that's going to enhance your relationships and not detract from them. We're going to talk about self-discipline as well. And finally, your emotions, your heart and your compassion. Are you able to be present? Are you willing to invest your time, effort for the development of others? And that's a key part of being an effective leader, is having genuine concern, presence, heart and compassion for those that you're leading. So just maybe before we move on, just ask yourself, you know, how you stack up against each of those five.
So while people are doing that, something, you know, and I guess for many of us, you know, we may have worked in a number of organizations and where perhaps you haven't seen leadership demonstrated in this way. You've seen leadership that is much more, let's call it autocratic.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that the your ability to really behave and to follow this model, in a sense, is almost governed by the culture of the organization. Do you think that's a fair comment, Greg?
Yeah, without doubt. I think, you know, there's a lot of organizations that pay lip service to lead to the way that they would like their leaders to behave. You know, that they encourage what they, you know, they call authentic leadership, but actually they want a much more directive approach most of the time. You know, it's all about delivering results quickly. And I'm mm-hmm. sure we've all experienced that. So I think you're right, Helen. The culture, the leadership culture of the organization is absolutely pivotal in allowing people to express themselves and to tap into their own leadership potential and to do it in their own way. And that's what we're talking about here is embracing the fact that people lead in different ways. And, you know, and I think that diversity is a real positive, or can be a real positive, if the culture and the environment is set up to allow that to flourish. And I don't think that's always the case, as you rightly point out.
Greg, it's Kevin.
Hi, Kev.
What do you think, or which of these do you think is the kind of the fundamental one where people sometimes falter?
Yeah, I think for me, as I think I've probably pointed out, it's that purpose. So you know, it's no accident that that's kind of the start of the cycle, if you like. Everything else stems from that, and I think that's an area that oftentimes we don't get, you know, the luxury of time and space to explore that. And you know, I've known lots of people who've been very successful leaders, but they've never really understood what it is that they like about being a leader, or why they want to do it. So I would say that genuine purpose section, top right, is the start of this whole process, and that's often where we need to invest a little bit more time to really you know, hold the mirror up to ourselves and understand exactly what it is that's driving us every day to try and be the best possible leader we can and build on those leadership skills that we're going to cover shortly.
Yeah, brilliant. I would agree. The only reason I asked it again really was because you know, again, over the years in the industry, often it seems to be the most natural step after you've done a role for a good number of years. I know what it is. I'll be a manager or a leader next. And actually, it's a completely different world. And really understanding what being a leader means, I think, is critical to you being successful.
No, I completely agree with that. And, you know, again, I'm sure we've all experienced, you know, leaders being promoted into leadership or management roles because they're functional experts, you know, particularly in the pharma healthcare industries. I think that's very typical. And, you know, yes, it's great because it's a promotion, it, you know, it's career development, etc. But are they actually engaged in what, you know, in wanting to be a leader, in wanting to get joy and satisfaction and reward from seeing other people strive and achieving great results and developing and building confidence? You know, for me, that's what differentiates the great leaders from people who have found themselves in a management position because they've wanted career development. You know, so I think that's why I think I'm really going to kind of bang on about this throughout the session today. This idea of having clarity around your purpose is absolutely essential.
So it's interesting you're asking people to consider finding their purpose in the sense of leadership. When we ask MSLs to define their purpose, it's really interesting how quite often they can struggle, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
So they can tell you all of the things that they do, all of the activities that they do, but finding the words to describe your purpose. So it's almost, is it the why? Is that what you would say? So I'm really curious to see what you're going to tell us now. I know that we touched on it the last time, but
it's absolutely your why. So it's exactly as you describe it. You know, your purpose or your vision It's what is it that's underpinning why you go to work and why you want to be in this leadership role that we're craving. So once you've found, until you found that, it's very difficult to be able to consistently kind of operate at the level that's going to be required for you to be an effective leader. You know, you're going to have loads of information coming at you on a daily and weekly, hourly basis, and trying to kind of identify what are the things that are going to make a difference. What are the things that resonate with me as an individual leader that I need to prioritize, because that's what's important to me. That's why I'm doing the role that I'm doing. So it's critically important to have clarity around this for yourself. And not only that, but then being able to clearly communicate and share that with not only the people that report to you, but everyone else in the organization. So your peers and your senior leadership group as well. And once you've got that also, you know, you're gonna find that you're gonna feel much more in control of your own destiny. So, which sounds a bit grandiose, but it's true. So having clarity around why are you doing what you're doing, it's going to help you and inform the decisions that you make about how you allocate and prioritize your time, and what are the tasks that you focus on, and the people that you focus on in terms of building and helping them to build and develop their confidence as well.
Can I just add something to what you have in this slide? Sure. So for people who are on this call, who are perhaps seeing leadership as a development opportunity, who aspire to be leaders, I think in terms of preparation, you know, very often you have to get internal endorsement to support you moving on in your career. So, you know, you should be prepared to be asked the question, why this is for you? Why do you feel that you'd make a good leader? So I think that whilst, you know, this is something we've repeated, I think we all need to find our own words. So you've shared a lot with us, Greg, but I think it comes back to being the authentic you. So why does it matter to you as an individual that you may be developed or promoted or whatever the term is into a leadership role? So because that then, as you said, becomes your anchor point.
Greg, I also think that it's worth thinking about the fact that you can demonstrate leadership without being in a leadership role. Mm-hmm. And for anyone aspiring to that, then, you know, it's a muscle that you can flex now. You don't have to wait to be given a job. And actually think about that in relation to being the real you, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you, Kevin. And again, I think that's a really important point. You know, this program is called the Aspiring MSL Leader. So you're quite right. You know, developing these leadership skills, attitudes, behaviors, and knowledge. You know, there's no reason why you can't find opportunities to flex those muscles in whatever role that you're currently in. You know, that's going to put you in a good position for when you start applying for these roles. And any hiring manager is going to going to impress them. So looking for opportunities, leadership opportunities within your current role. We're going to touch on this again later, but it's really important, and it's a great opportunity for you to start to think about, you know, applying some of this theory to the role that you're currently in, so that, you know, you've got a great chance of being taken seriously for future leadership positions as and when you start to think about applying for them. So just again, you know, that why is front and center. I'm gonna kind of recommend a book to you by Simon Sinek at the end of the presentation, which talks to this point. But you know, it will inform everything that you think, every action that you take, every way that you communicate at all levels within your organization. So once you've got clarity of that, the world changes overnight. Okay, and everything that you do, everything you think, everything that you communicate will be informed by that.
Can I share something with you that's sure. Kind of quite often before I'm speaking. So we were running an event for 500 people. It was one of the biggest events that we had ever done, and I get quite nervous, I have to say. And I was coming on stage after lunch, so I knew I was hitting that slump. And I'm a great believer in the whole Amy Cuddy power pose, talking to myself about my purpose. And so I went behind the screens and I think they thought I'd slightly lost the plot, Greg. So I was sort of stood in this kind of rather, you know, but really saying these words out loud about why I do what I do and what my purpose was. And the difference in terms of my level of confidence as I walked onto that stage, in terms of my delivery, it was quite incredible. And it was really just reminding myself about purpose. It is just such a simple step to take, but really ask yourself why.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you. So you're right. And just to add to what's been said already, I think the first part of the process is understanding what your why is, what your purpose is for you as an individual. But then it's a case of communicating that and making that, you know, through your thoughts, your actions, your communication, clear to everyone else around you. And again, you know, just is that landing with everyone else? Are people all around you that you work with clear on what that is, assuming that you've identified it accurately for yourselves? And if that isn't the case, then what can you do to try and change that and to try and ensure that there's clarity around that for everyone that you work with, everyone around you? So the next part of our authentic leadership model is around having clear values. So I guess our values are, you know, the way I like to look at it, there are convictions or the things in life that you are committed to and you that you associate high importance to. And again, unless we understand that for ourselves, it's the likelihood that it can come across in a confused or a conflicted way. So things like fairness or you know, as a leader operating a meritocracy, so people that try hard get great results, you know, they come to the top. Things like loyalty, commitment and honesty, you know, these are classic values that as a leader it's really important that you not only understand for yourself and you live by, but you're able to communicate those as well. So relationships. And this is about working relationships, so or connections. How do you pursue those relationships? Are you respectful of others in terms of their time and their physical and mental well-being? Is it genuinely important to you in terms of how your behavior, how your actions impact other people around you? And this, to be honest, this is where situational leadership comes in my view. So, you know, if you're a leader that's able to flex and adapt the way that you interact with those around you, you've invested time and effort to try and deliver the best leadership skills that you can to that individual and that specific situation, then you're going to be perceived as a stronger leader as a result of that. So having that front and center of your mind and not just focusing on the task at hand. And I think, again, certainly within pharma, that's often a trap that we fall into. We're so focused on delivering the task, we're all under pressure to deliver objectives, etc., that the impact on the relationship, the bigger picture, if you like, can sometimes get muddled. And we're pushing people constantly for bigger and better results, working harder. And that's, you know, that can have an incredibly detrimental effect in the longer term. So having that kind of that broad view about the people and the task and trying to get the right balance in terms of how you interact with other people that you work with is incredibly important.
Also, Greg, I think you touched on this, but in current times, you know, with the whole COVID thing and people working at home and stuff, the transaction between a leader and a member of their team has become a bit more of that. So it's a quick share of information. And I think leaders need to set aside time to really understand their people, to understand how they're being affected today. It's not just about, here's another task for you to do, and I need it by Friday. It's everything that's going to affect whether they're able to do that or not.
Absolutely. And you know, all these Zoom meetings, Teams meetings are a real barrier to that, Kev, I think, aren't they? You know, and yeah. as an impactful, authentic leader, it's a real challenge to try and demonstrate the things we're talking about now through a video meeting or video conference. So I think, again, that requires a little bit of planning preparation in terms of, okay, well, can you build something into an agenda on a team meeting that's not about delivering objectives or tasks, that's a bit about getting to know each other? You know, I do a session called the personal shield session, you know, where it's just, it sounds a bit naff and it kind of is, but it's a bit lighthearted, but it's just about, you know, sharing with each other, particularly for new teams, you know, who am I? What are my values? What's important to me? How do I like to be, you know, communicated with? And you know, the more you can encourage that type of focus and attention on adjusting the way that all of the people that you work with interact with each other is really important, and it demonstrates investment in one another, and that you care about, you know, the impact that you're having on your colleagues. So I completely agree. I think it's a real challenge, and it requires more effort and preparation, investment of time to get it right, I think. So self-discipline, yeah. So this is an interesting one. So this is about, I guess, our, you know, as a leader, it's about your drive and your energy. So are you able to find a way to get things done, even if, you know, it's not happening initially, and you're coming up against challenges or barriers, you know, and it can be frustrating. So do you have the resilience and the fortitude to pick yourself up, dust yourself down and go again and find a workaround, find a new approach, a different way of trying to tackle the situation. So self-discipline, you know, maybe it's not self-explanatory what I mean by that, but hopefully that's made it clearer for you. So again, you know, with all of these things we're going through, give yourself maybe a score out of 10 against all of these components. This is what authentic leadership is made up of. And, you know, you get most or all of these things right, and you're gonna come across as a truly authentic and powerful leader. And self-discipline is absolutely a key component of that. And then the final part of the puzzle is what I call heart and compassion, really. So again, it's linked to the relationships piece, but you know, it's being sensitive to other people's needs and to manage the person as well as the task in front of you and getting that balance right. So again, a question to you, do you genuinely care about those that you work with? And if you do, which I'm sure a lot of you do, are you demonstrating that? Are you finding a way to clearly demonstrate that that is the reality, that is the truth? And it might be that is how you feel, but that's great. It's no good in your head. You know, the important thing is to find a way to clearly communicate that so that people believe it. They believe that you're on their side. They believe that you have their best interests at heart. Okay. So heart and compassion is incredibly important. And again, you know, all of these five components, if you can work on the areas where you feel that you're slightly weaker, all of that, you know, will add up to an incredibly authentic leadership experience for you and the people that you're leading. So let's move on then. So executive presence, what's that all about?
So this is, you know, well, I don't know whether you're asking me, but I think, again, this is another one of those buzzwords. Yeah. And, you know, when I think about your model, I see that as being quite quite human and quite, you know, really the authentic piece. Mm-hmm. And then I see this and I immediately I'm thinking about something quite different.
What are you thinking of, Helen?
I create a picture in my mind. Well, you know, I'm quite visual. So I suppose I sort of feel that there's a certain way of dressing, a certain way of a distance almost. So yeah. So does this imply that you have to be cold and, you know, removed and so on? How do you, I don't know, it's a bit intangible for me. I can't quite put my finger on it.
No, I know exactly what you mean, and it's a pretty cold image, isn't it? So character, substance, and style, what the hell does that mean? So, I mean, it's interesting. I'd be interested to get the thoughts of the guys on the call in terms of what their understanding is of executive presence is, because I think it is a term that we all hear, you know, and there's lots of different ways of describing it. We've probably all had it in our performance appraisals. You know, if you're interested in leadership, you need to demonstrate executive presence. Well, great, but what the hell does that mean? You know, so as I said, there's lots of different ways of describing what executive presence is. You may have heard these different terms. So leadership presence, executive demeanor, whatever that is, professional maturity. Gravitas is a good one. I've heard that a lot, you know, certainly in my formative years in the industry, I got challenged about my gravitas all of the time. It's like, well, what the hell is that? Some kind of Latin or Greek word, isn't it? What on earth does that mean? So that word confidence kind of shouts out to me, and confidence in terms of your subordinates, which is a horrible term, I really don't like that, but the people that report to you. So inspiring confidence that you know what you're doing, and that you you've gone through the due diligence of understanding what's feasible, what's sensible and rational, so that you inspire confidence to the people that you're leading. Also, and I think equally important, that those around you, so the peers that you work with, you know, if you're in a middle management, middle leadership role, the guys that you actually work alongside, they are able to rely on you, and they see you as being capable to deliver what you're required to deliver. And also, you know, and maybe most importantly, that those that are leading you, so that the senior leadership guys that you perhaps report to, or the guys that make the big decisions about the direction of travel of the organization, they feel confident to invest in you and to empower you to play to your strengths and to achieve great things potentially in the future. So for me, that's what executive presence means. It's about finding ways to demonstrate and build confidence in you and your capabilities as a leader. Do you feel that you're able to demonstrate executive presence? Yes or no? So this is, again, this is a slightly different model for you. So in my eyes, executive presence constitutes four behaviors or four habits, attitudes, if you like, the four P's, you'll notice. So for me, it's about getting all of these four components kind of in place. And, you know, with a lot of these things, you know, if you can really nail down and improve on all four, then you know, the outcome is so much more powerful than any one individually. So the first one is around passion, and again, back to our purpose, and is that front and center all of the time? Do you have determination to deliver positive change for your team and for the organization? And do other people see that from you? So our second P is perspective. So my kind of definition of that is that it's not just about acting by example, but it's also about thinking by example as well. So are you able to keep focused on the task at hand, and despite distractions or conflicting priorities, are you able to ensure that you and the team, you know, really focus in on what's important, what's going to make the difference in terms of your outcomes and the success that you're working towards? Poise is the third one. So this is about emotional control. So even if you're failing as an individual or as a group, you know, and you've experienced failure, are you able to bounce back even stronger and more determined and exude that confidence and try something different? So it's about having genuine pride in the outcome that you and your team are driving towards, and not getting frustrated or disheartened. And then the final element is what I call projection. So this is about taking decisive actions, backing your judgment, being concise, being measured with your words, but also having significant impact on others around you, inspiring others around you to want to take some kind of positive action.
Greg, we've got a question from Amy.
Sure.
Amy says, so is poise related to resilience?
Yes, it is in a way. I think absolutely. Great question, Amy. I think poise is exactly about resilience. It's about being able to kind of, you know, control your emotions. So if we're in a position where we're doing all the right things, we're still not getting the results that we want, not allowing that, you know, and you might be feeling frustrated, you might be you know, unsure on the future direction, but as a leader, it's about having that control over what the external world sees. So that's what I mean by poise. It's control over your natural instinctive reactions or emotions. It's being able to refocus, you know, it's flipping the lens and looking at a different workaround, a different way of approaching a problem or a task, and being resilient and finding a way to come back stronger and learning from the experience. So having, you know, as a leader, having some kind of learning log or a way of capturing what you've tried and what you failed, where you failed and why you failed, and coming back with an alternative approach or a different option. That's the key to it, I think. So resilience is a really nice way of describing it. Yeah. And another way of describing it is having a wow factor. So another way of looking at this is around your knowledge, skills, and attitudes. We've touched on this already, but I think, you know, obviously your knowledge is what you know and your previous relevant experience to the task at hand, the skills in terms of how you're going to deliver those specifically related to the task that you're working with, but also the people that you're working with and the attitudes and behaviors. And why is this important? So I think, you know, EP, executive presence, it is critically important for future leaders. And there are many reasons why. So I think, and again, I'm sure you've all experienced, you know, leaders that have had this in spades. And you want to follow them. They're the people that, you know, you feel confident to invest your time, your development, your careers in. Because they're a safe pair of hands. So if you have executive presence, if you've got all of those, if you've got the four P's and you work on those, then you're going to be attractive as a leader. People are going to want to follow your vision. They're going to trust you, and you're going to be able to exert influence as well. So, and persuade others to your way of thinking. And that's important as a leader, particularly in sort of middle management, middle leadership roles in an organization, having clarity in terms of you know, and conviction to deliver what you think is right is incredibly important. And executive presence is a key component of getting people to fall in behind you and you'll be able to influence and persuade them.
Okay, can I just add, Greg, sure. Just coming back to your previous slide, where your wow slide. Mm. So bearing in mind that we've called this a webinar for the aspiring MSL leader, and I was asking people to consider the question of what would your response be to the question, you know, what is your motivation? What is your purpose for, you know, what's really driving you to want to be a leader? I think when we look at this, so again, coming back, let's imagine that we're being interviewed or we're having a conversation with our manager about why we might be put in a development program. If you use this framework that you've just given us here to create examples of why you are a good candidate to be a leader, so you can demonstrate what was the situation, this is how I responded, what were the challenges, and so on. And even if you're not about to be interviewed, but just ask yourself, you know, what situations have I recently experienced that I might want to document? Because of course, when it comes to interview, very often we forget, you know, we struggle, don't we? So I just think it's I really like that idea of considering knowledge, skills, and attitudes in the context of your own personal journey and really documenting that.
I completely agree, Helen. And, you know, I touched on the idea of having a learning log or a learning journal. And it's something that I still do, you know, it's even now. And, you know, it's just a simple Excel spreadsheet. So, you know, but it's focused on a particular development area. So leadership skills we're talking about at the moment, you know, just having a 5 or 6 column spreadsheet that you populate on a weekly basis, and that you discipline yourself to kind of go back and reflect on and update. So, it, you know, as you say, it might be something around column A might be what's the issue that I want to address? What's the situation? What is the leadership challenge that I have in front of me? And finding those leadership challenges for people that are not currently leaders is part of the puzzle, I guess. So once you've understood that, so what is it I want to work on? You know, maybe think about what's the outcome that I want to achieve in relation to that. And then what are the actions that I can take myself, but also other people around me, my manager, my coach, whoever it might be, HR, whoever, and then what was the result? What happened as a result of me taking those actions? So that's your STAR model, if you like. You know, competency-based interviewing is all about that, isn't it? And that's what most HR departments, most hiring managers would use as a framework for interviews. But importantly then, what's, you know, the last column, if you like, in the learning log is that, well, what did I learn from that process? What could I, if I achieved a great result, what did I do to facilitate that? If I didn't, then what can I do differently next time? And how can I apply that learning to future similar examples? So I think as a discipline for people that are aspiring to move into leadership roles, that's a great thing to do. Having a learning log, as I call it, or a learning journal that you allocate time to on a regular basis, weekly, ideally, I don't know, a Monday morning at 8 o'clock. And that's all you do. You know, you turn your phone off, turn your email off, and you just think about, well, what do I want to focus on in terms of my development, specifically around my leadership skills and my leadership potential? And think about what I've got coming up in the week ahead that I can use, those experiences I can use to help me develop in these areas. I think that's a great discipline to get into. So, and you know, in terms of trying to move this forward, guys, and build yourself a development plan that's going to help you develop and harness these, hone these skills. You know, we've seen a slide like this before many times, I'm sure, the 70-20, 10% rule. But, you know, in the role that you're doing, if you're an MSL or you know, medical affairs, you know, you need to find opportunities to develop these leadership skills. So maybe projects or shadowing colleagues might be an example of doing that. But ideally, as Helen has alluded to, you know, and Kevin, identifying opportunities for you to really work on these skills. So when you get to an interview stay or an assessment centre, you've got good evidence that's documented that you can present and you know, and that's going to deliver you a much better opportunity to be successful in these applications. 20%, you know, can you find a mentor or a coach, someone that you admire as a leader that you can learn from, who's, you know, who role models the behaviors that you're seeking to improve on, or a coach? And then classroom learning or online learning, that's only 10% of it. So this sort of thing, you know, gives you the theory, but ultimately this is all about throwing yourself in and giving yourself the experience and learning yourself, you know, in on the job, as it were. And then just to finish off, a couple of sort of practical hints and tips, which I hope might be useful in terms of how you can actually go about demonstrating this crazy thing called executive presence. So there are three components to that, in my view. So posture, voice, and expression. So you know, things, silly things like, in terms of posture, standing in a strong position. Towering instead of cowering, and standing with your feet shoulder width apart. And you know, it's basic stuff. I know it sounds a bit dumb, but it has an impact. And you know, doing that and thinking about your posture and the way that your posture impacts how you're coming across at every opportunity throughout your working day, your working week, is incredibly important. Now, I know it's difficult to do that on a Zoom or a Teams call right now, but even so, you know, preparing thoroughly, thinking about your environment that you know, if you're on a Zoom call, think about your environment. You know, what do the pictures behind you say about you? Do you look professional at all times? Do you look prepared at all times? So I think even in the current environment, considering your posture, or the way that you're coming across, your body language, your facial expressions generally, is a good thing to bear in mind. And that will help you to build your internal brand, I guess. But it needs to be consistent. You know, I think the best leaders, this is something they do without thinking about it. It builds their brand over time. In terms of your expression, so hands, you know, gesticulations, etc. So, you know, are you able to reinforce your point? Do you appear open and able to gesture fluidly? Do you look prepared? So again, you know, I think this is another thing, practical thing that you can be aware of and work on to try and help to build that positive impression and build people's confidence in you. And then the voice, obviously, is the third component that you have, particularly on our remote calls that a lot of us are experiencing at the moment. Can you come across in a confident, authoritative way? You know, often your your volume, your value is determined by the volume of your voice and how confidently that's being delivered. So again, that's something that you can prepare for and try to work on. Finding your purpose and centering to that purpose is a challenge, but it's a challenge worth taking because it's absolutely at the core of authentic leadership. And in terms of executive presence, finding our four P's, our passion, our poise, our perspective and our projection, they're really important elements as well. And all of this, you know, throw it into the mix, all of this is what will help you build your brand, build your confidence, you know, make you be taken seriously by the guys in your organization that are gonna have, be making decisions about your future career development in the future. So here are a couple of books that I would recommend, which Kevin referred to earlier. So Start With Why, by Simon Sinek. So the video that I was gonna play you kind of talks to that book. It's an excellent book. We can send you Good to Great by Jim Collins and How to Get It, being Executive Presence by Connie Judge.